to ask for your prayers today as I try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I'm going to use a question today as a title for the message. And that question is, what does your church, and I'm talking about, you know, the church where you are privileged to hold membership, and that is a great privilege, folks. That's a wonderful thing. And my question is, what does your church mean to you? And I want to read from the 84th Psalm. This psalm is 12 verses long, and I'd like to read it in its entirety. Psalm 84, beginning with verse 1. And it says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Now that word amiable there, if I'm pronouncing that right, is a word that means how deserving of love, something that is worthy of being loved. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house, they will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And before I read the remaining verses, and especially this next verse, I want to say that I'm very thankful that Brother Strode led the song this morning, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Because that just fits right into the thought that the Lord had placed upon my heart today. And in that song, it talks about the fact that I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold and houses and land and all, really, and everything else. I'd rather have Jesus more than anything else. And in this 10th verse, it says, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And that is reading the 84th Psalm, all 12 verses of that psalm, for a scripture reading today. And there are a few more verses that I have made note of that I want to share with you, because something that we find throughout the Psalms, here in this psalm that I have read as well, and in other places, throughout the Psalms, we find that David had a tendency to express his great gratitude towards the house of God. He spoke about in the Psalms how thankful that he was for the house of God and how excited that he would be to go to the house of God. And in the 10th verse that I have read here, he said, a day in the courts of the Lord. is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. And David used that, he used that comparison of 1,000 to 1, but I'm sure that that was just, as I said, that was just a comparison. I'm sure that in his heart, that what he was saying was, there's nothing that can compare to it. A day in thy courts, if you wanted to look at it this way, would be better than your whole lifetime anywhere else as far as that goes. But he used the comparison of 1,000 to 1, and so I will probably use that some today myself. But in the 26th Psalm, in verse 8, and I just want to share before I go any further a few more verses from the Psalms concerning this. In Psalm 26, verse 8, he said this, "Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." In Psalm 27, in verse 4, he said, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And then in the 122nd Psalm, in the first verse, probably that most everybody is familiar with and has heard many times, Psalm 122 and 1, he expresses his great joy. He says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And so those verses, along with the 84th Psalm that I have read, is where that I wanted to try to start this message today. And as I said, it is a great blessing, in fact, the greatest blessing that anybody has ever known is to be saved by God's grace. That's the best thing that ever happened and can happen to anyone. And when that takes place, then that person is able, because they have come to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin, that person has what is required of them to become a part, to become a member of the Lord's church. That is required, that is scriptural. You know, in order to be a member of the church, you must be saved. You must be able to relate an experience of passing from death unto life, from nature to grace, of being born again. And I'm very thankful that those who during our revival meeting just recently, who were saved during the meeting, or those who had been saved prior to that and were willing to finally let it be known, I'm thankful to God that they were willing to follow the Lord, to be obedient to the Lord, and to unite with his church. And I want to encourage all of them to be an active member in the church of the Lord, because that's what we need to do. We need to serve the Lord, and we do that today through his church. And the Bible says, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Now, it's mentioned oftentimes, you've probably heard this, I know I've heard this many times, that people say, "Well, I don't have to be a part of that. I can serve the Lord just as well without the church." And nobody has ever yet convinced me of that, and I still don't believe that's true. That everybody that has been saved ought to be a member of the Lord's church and ought to be an active member of the Lord's church, ought to be serving the Lord through the church. And so Here again, David expressed his joy and his gratitude, his thankfulness for the house of God. Now, David lived in a day. He was alive during what we know as the Old Testament times. David lived in a day before the church was organized. He lived in the days of the tabernacle. He wanted to build a temple, but he was not allowed to. And to be honest with you, that wasn't God's plan in the first place. God's plan was the tabernacle. David wanted to build a temple, but because he was a man of war, God did not allow him the honor of doing that. He passed that on to his son Solomon, and Solomon built the temple. And so I believe that we would be safe in saying that when we read things that David said concerning the house of the Lord, that and the courts that he spoke of in this 84th Psalm, that he was having reference to the tabernacle that had been made during the days of Moses. God's house today is not a building. It's a body. It's a body of people. It's a body of baptized believers. And I'm very thankful, and I've said this before, I'm very thankful that we have a place to come and to assemble and worship. I'm thankful for the sanctuary that we have, that we are in here today. I think it's a wonderful blessing that we have this, but it's not the church. It's the building. It's the place where we come together and meet, but I think that it can properly be noted as the house of God. And it has been dedicated for that purpose. I want you to think with me today about your church. And again, I say that in reference to the body with which you hold membership. Because truly, honestly, if we say this properly, and I know that oftentimes we use this term, we would say, well, Fairview Memorial, or wherever a person may belong, those of us here that are members here, we would refer to Fairview Memorial as our church. We would say, that's my church, but truthfully, it's not. It's the Lord's church. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He has blessed us to be members of His body. And so, you know, that's something. Now, you may think, well, you know, Brother Miller, what's the need in making a point like that? Well, that's something I believe that is very, very important for us to always remember, that this is not ours, that this belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is His, and He is the head of the church, and He is the one that has made the rules. And we are to follow His rules. We are to live by His word. And, you know, we are not here to make the decisions ourselves. We are here. God has given us the blueprint. He has given us His law and His rules, and we need to follow that. And we need to remember that it is His and that it is not ours. And so, you know, there I want to speak about, and I suppose that what I have on my heart today, you could look at this as being a sermon. You could also consider this today my testimony, because I want to share my heart today. I want to share with you things that are very near and dear to my heart today. There have been things in my lifetime that I have witnessed through the Lord's church, There have been blessings that I have received in my lifetime by being a member of the Lord's church that I would have just never gotten anywhere else. I would have never been able to obtain those things from any other organization in this world that I could have belonged to other than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here again, in the 10th verse of the 84th Psalm, the psalmist said, "A day in thy courts is better than a thousand." And I believe that what he was saying there was that a day in your courts is better than a thousand anywhere else. And he goes on and he says, I had rather be a doorkeeper. A doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, the word here, the Hebrew word here, and I always found this very interesting, the Hebrew word here for doorkeeper may be something different than what we would normally think about when we think about a doorkeeper. This the word here that the Hebrew word that the word doorkeeper here was derived from is the only place in all the scripture where that word was used. Now there are scriptures in 1 Chronicles. There's a couple of verses in the Old Testament that talk about doorkeepers in reference to servants. There are places in the Bible where it talks about porters, meaning essentially the same thing in reference to servants. But the word doorkeeper here came from the Hebrew word that was talking about the threshold of the door. And so if we properly understand what the psalmist was saying here when he made this statement, he said that he would be much more satisfied and much happier to be standing at the door of the house of God, not even yet inside, but standing right on the threshold, standing on the right at the door of the house of the Lord, even if he wasn't yet in, than he would to be inside the tents of wickedness. And so that was how that he made reference to the fact that he would rather be that doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell inside the tents of wickedness. I'll tell you what, there is joy, there is blessings, there are great spiritual pleasures that come to us by being members of the Lord's body, members of His church, that you just cannot obtain anywhere else. There have been things, and there continue to be things, that I have experienced. And listen, I believe that oftentimes people really deceive themselves, and I'm afraid that people really make a mess of their lives because they have an unrealistic view of the Lord's church. And I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about. When the Lord Jesus organized His church, He had a perfect plan. And He had a perfect design. And there was absolutely nothing flawed in the Lord's blueprints. There was nothing flawed in His plans. Everything that God does is perfect. Just like in the creation, when He was creating the world and everything in it, and He was looking at these things and He was saying, they're good, they're very good, they're perfect, there's nothing wrong with them. And His plan and His blueprints for the building of His church was absolutely perfect. But the material that went into it has never been, has it? It's always been made up of imperfect people. We're not perfect. You know, my wife and I, if the Lord is willing, we are just a little bit away, just a little more than a year away from celebrating 40 years of marriage. And I'm very thankful for that. And you know, when I think about that, I'm very thankful for this, and I'm very appreciative of this, that throughout the years, for almost 40 years, that she has loved me despite all of my imperfections. She didn't marry a perfect man, and she couldn't have because there are none on the earth. And, you know, we need to remember that concerning the church where we hold membership, because there is not a perfect church in the world. And there's not going to be until the day that the Lord purges her and she's in glory. As long as we live here in this world, as long as the church is in this world, there's going to be things that are not perfect. There were things, if you read the scriptures, there were things that happened at the tabernacle that were not perfect. There were things that happened at the temple that were not perfect. There are things that happen at a church that are not perfect. But listen, God does not excuse us, and God does not want us to walk away and to desert the church where we are privileged to hold membership just because there are imperfections and just because there are things that we may not like. And you know what? Every church, I have found this throughout the years in being a pastor. I found this through, you know, some of you here today may have never belonged to any church other than this one. And I think that's a great blessing, but I've not been able to do that, being a minister and going and pastoring different churches and belonging to different churches. I have learned this, that churches in this way, are individual churches, are very much like individual people. Each church has her own personality. Each church has her own habits. Each church has her own traditions. There are things that one church does, perhaps from week to week, that another church does not do. And you know what? There are times that we need to just be patient with one another, and we don't need to have the idea that everything will be perfect. And listen, if there's something about a church that bothers someone that is a member of that church, then listen, you don't have the option. God has not given you the option to just up and walk away because there's a little something that just don't sit quite right with you. The church is not under any obligation to change herself to suit what everybody wants. Now, I believe that, and I'll stand on that. You know what? I'm going to talk for a moment about our young people. You may agree with this, or you may not agree with it. But I believe that when there are things that don't suit our young people, when there are things that say, oh, I don't want to go there because I don't like that, you know what I believe that we need to do as responsible, mature Christians? I think we need to teach them that they need to deal with it. They need to deal with it. Because listen, we are not to change everything because somebody doesn't like it. That's not life, and they'll find our young people when they grow up and they go into the workforce and they go into marriage, they're going to find out that everything that they come across that they don't think is perfect, they're not going to be catered to, and everybody is not going to change everything to suit them, and we need to teach them that right here. We need to teach them that right here. They need to learn patience. I remember belonging to a church, and I'm not going to call any names. I wouldn't dare do that. But I remember belonging to a church that there was somebody that every time, and it didn't happen every service, but every time he got up to make a talk, he just went on and on and on and on and on and on every time. And people would talk about that. And, you know, they would make mention of that. Oh, brother so-and-so, every time he makes a talk, he just goes on and on and on and on and on. You know what? I'm just going to tell you exactly what I believe. Those types of things never justify anybody leaving their church. The Bible tells us that there are things that we are to forbear. There are things that, you know, listen, I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe that you'll find according to the Scriptures, that God places us in the body where He wants us. You read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's exactly what it talks about. God tempering each member into the body as He would have them to be. And when God places someone in a church, if they, everybody should be placed there by the Holy Spirit of God, and you ought to be there until the Holy Spirit of God tells you to go elsewhere. That's what I believe. We ought to be in the will of the Lord and be where God would have us to be. I'll tell you what, there are people here right now, this morning, in this service, that have been members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church for years and years and years. And I guarantee you that through the years of them holding membership here, there have been things that they have not really agreed with. There have been things that have come up that they didn't really like. There have been things that have happened that they really objected to. But you know what? They stuck. They stayed. And I appreciate people like that. And I believe the Lord appreciates people like that. And I'm going to say this today, and I want you to know in all love, but I'm going to say this today to the young members of this church. Don't let things drive you away that shouldn't. Don't let things, and oftentimes, to be honest with you, oftentimes I believe those things that people give as reasons, what they really are is they are excuses, and the problem is that their love for the Lord and their love for the church is not quite what it ought to be, and those things that they use are excuses rather than legitimate reasons and a legitimate cause. Because when you get out, like I said, when you get out into this world and you become a part of the workforce, you're going to find out that your employer is not going to change everything to suit you. You're going to find out that your spouse is not going to change everything to suit you. We must be patient with each other. And there are things that we need to deal with. That's what I believe. And I'll stand on that. I believe that oftentimes people, they up and they leave behind the church where the Lord has placed them without being justified at all in doing so. The Apostle Paul, there in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, He talked about God placing those members in the body as it pleased Him. And sometimes I think what may have happened is there are people that read that and they thought that it said that God placed them there as it pleased them rather than Him. No, we're not here for ourselves. We're here for God. It's not about us, it's about Him. And listen, I'm not picking on anybody. That goes for any member of the church at any age. We are here to serve the Lord. We are here to work for Him. We are here to honor Him. And we need to learn a life lesson in this, that you can't just pick up and quit and leave anything every time something comes along that doesn't quite suit you. That's no way. That's no way to be a member of the Lord's body. Throughout this revival, I'll tell you what, my soul was taken to great heights. From June 3rd to June 12th, the services at this church, the revival meeting that God blessed us with, the services from night to night and from day to day, the things that I experienced here. Folks, listen, I heard singing that I believe that was stirring God in heaven. I heard testimonies from people that moved me to the very depths of my soul. I heard my brother bring some wonderful sermons. And I'll tell you what, I would have rather been here than to be anywhere in the world. I would have rather been here among God's people, assembled together, feeling the things that I was feeling, hearing the things that I was feeling, than to have been than to have taken 1,000 exotic vacations. I believe I know what David was feeling when he talked about how much that he loved the habitation of God's house. It's been my life. Been my life. Yesterday. Yesterday I went and heard some singing at the Do-Re-Mi closing ceremony, Hartsville, Tennessee. Some of our young people here from church were singing. I'll tell you what, those people, they got up on that stage and they began to sing praises to God. Boy, my heart began to rejoice. I mean, I got so happy in the Lord. Towards the end of it, towards the latter part of the singing, I mean, the Spirit of God moved up on that place and people began to rejoice and I was lifted up to the heavens. Woo, I felt good. Take the world. Just give me Jesus. Take the country clubs and all those things. Give me my church. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be with God's people. I want to be where God is happy to manifest His presence. I want to be where God, with the people that God is happy to pour His power out upon. I heard people during this revival. John Connor one night, after seeking the Lord for so long, said, "The Lord save me." Noah, after seeking the Lord for so long, said, "The Lord save me." I'd have rather been right there and heard that than anything in the world. I'll tell you this. You may run away. You may leave and you may go out and you may look for things in the world, but you're not going to find anything like the church. I'll guarantee you, you won't find anything like the Lord's church. And you won't find any entertainment. I would have rather been in that singing yesterday. I'm telling you the honest truth. I would have rather been in that singing yesterday than to have been in the finest concert hall in the world, hearing the most renowned singers in the world, 1,000 to 1. I was right where I needed to be. And God blessed me to the very depths of my soul. Oh, Lord. A single day. This service right here this morning with all of you is better than 1,000 spent anywhere else doing anything else. It's better than 1,000 sporting events. It's better than 1,000 theaters. It's better than anything. I'd rather be here right now than any place in this world that I can think of. Love the Lord. Love your church. Be thankful that you are privileged to be a member of it. And don't let things that don't matter distract you. Don't let the devil convince you to leave because somebody talks too long or because the preacher's too ugly. Don't let anything that doesn't matter distract you. Don't let the devil use those things to cause you to leave your church behind. It's not right. It's not right. Be patient. You know, listen, if the Lord would have been looking for perfect subjects to die for, you and I wouldn't be saved. He looked down on a world that was filled with imperfection, and yet He came and gave His life for us. If He would have been looking for something perfect, we'd have been in trouble, wouldn't we? We would have been in big trouble. Now, I don't know what you call this. Like I said, you may call it a sermon, you may call it a testimony, but those are my thoughts. Those are my thoughts. I love God's house. And I'm proud to be a member. I'm thankful to be a part of His church. And I don't deserve it. And you don't deserve it. And listen, I'm not going to tell anybody how to raise your children. But I will give you some advice. If your kids come to you and they say, oh, I don't like this and I don't like that, teach them. Teach them to deal with it. That's life. That's reality. They're not going to like everything that they come up against. And listen, something does not have to be perfect in order for you to love it. If it does, then you love the idea rather than the object, to be honest with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of your body. Thank you for counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry. What a blessing. What a blessing to serve the Lord. Brother Strode.